Support for The Front Porch comes from WVCarFinder.com, matching West Virginia cars to West Virginians who want to buy them. More at WVCarFinder.com. And you're on The Front Porch. This week we're going to talk about floods in West Virginia, and we'll interview State Senator Chris Walters, who's been on the front lines helping flood victims in central West Virginia. We'll ask Walters about what he's seen and what he believes the legislature can do to help. Joining me as always is Rick Wilson of the American Friends Service Committee. Hey, Rick.
Hey, Scott.
And Senator Walters, so I have seen you. You've been out in the front lines. You're all over Facebook helping people who have been affected by this in places like Clendenin. Tell me just one story of something that you've seen that is sticking with you.
There's so many, Scott. There are so many instances where families have just been hurt so much by this tragedy. And, you know, a lot of times people think about the families and rebuilding, but also thinking about the kids. I mean, I've got two children, one age five, one 2 years old, and I ran into a family that had kids similar ages. And one of their children was in a walker, and the mom was crying and said, "You see that walker right there? That's the only toy that that child has left." Their entire bedroom was washed out. The crib was destroyed. Every stuffed animal, their bankies, their blankets, their lovies, whatever, you know, that instance, whatever that family calls their cherished items, all gone. To try to explain to a kid that you have to throw away their favorite stuffed animal, I mean, that's tough for a parent to do. And I know that seems to be small in a sense, but it's really not. It just shows from everything taken from these people. We see that. I've ran into a 78-year-old lady who was a widow and was drying out black and white pictures of her husband, hoping she could save them. Had them laid out on the front lawn and just had them sitting there and was saying, "I hope I can save these. I hope I can save some memories of my husband." There's not an easy story up there. There's really not, Scott.
What have you been doing? What's your personal response been?
You know, in the beginning, I went house to house. I went into multiple houses all throughout Clendenin and talked to these people, tried to educate them on resources from the very beginning that we knew would be available. And then once I was done doing that, I got connected with the National Guard and set up a distribution center. That distribution center is at the Smith's Food Fair in Clendenin. Some of the things that we kept hearing was, "Hey, we need tetanus shots." So we got involved with CAMC, Thomas Hospital, our ambulance authority, and we set up a medical field hospital at that distribution point. And to date, we've given over 2,000 tetanus shots to individuals in that community. People don't have power. They don't have electricity. They have no way to cook food. Every single place that served food up there got destroyed. All the diners, Geno's, all those. Their grocery store was destroyed. And then down in Elkview, you had the bridge go out to the McDonald's and to the Kmart and the other grocery store, the Kroger down there. So they had no way to make food. So we've given out over 10,000 warm meals from our distribution center. We have volunteers every day come up to cook. We have small businesses. I can't even name them all. There have been so many that come up there and donate food or bring their large cookers and just cook out all day long. And it's just been amazing, the outpouring of local businesses in the community coming up there to help out their neighbors.
You're a state legislator, of course. Mm-hmm. What are you seeing as far as the good things that state government is doing so far to help with the flood response?
You know, we've been really working closely with the National Guard, and I can't speak more highly of those individuals. They've had their guardsmen there. They've been going out to houses. Search and rescue was the big thing in the beginning, getting out to those roads that the road, frankly, is caved in and people can't get to. And the Guard has made it their mission to go out and get to those people, check on them. We had somebody yesterday that came by our distribution point, and it was the first time he'd been out of his home because he lived so far up a creek that, and he had his, you know, elderly mother that lives with him, and he didn't have any transportation. He said, "The house is fine." He said, "But the car's destroyed," and had no way. So we actually have teams now going up to check on him and check on his mother and to make sure they're okay. You know, the state's been utilizing our National Guard, and it's something that we've always supported in West Virginia. It's something that, you know, General Hoyer, you know, goes to other places across the nation and talks about how much we support our Guard here in West Virginia, and they've really come out in droves for us. But there's stuff that we need to do better. I'm frustrated, and I'm sure at Capitol High School, the 90 families sleeping in a gymnasium at Capitol High School still today are frustrated that there's been no signs of temporary housing getting ready. FEMA's response, you know, they're sure they're going to houses, but they had trailers and everything up when Katrina hit. They had all those temporary housing getting up quickly. I haven't seen that. And I'm pretty frustrated over that, and I know those families are as well, because they come up to our distribution site and say, do you know when we're going to be able to get off this cot inside of a gymnasium, when I can give my kids some privacy, when we can get back to our family unit so I can get back to work? We're not hearing much, and that's something that it's frustrating me, and I've been on the phone with the governor's office multiple times, and they're trying to work with FEMA to figure that out.
You know, one thing I noticed this flood, I'm from Milton where it floods a lot, and I was on our fire department for a while, which is more like a flood department, but this time around, you know, like traveling around, you think low ground places get hit, but for example, in Richwood, there are houses way up on the mountains that got washed away just because of sheer volume of water. So, I mean, this was a really highly unusual event in the sense that damage was done in places where you wouldn't expect damage. Did you see that in Clendenin?
Absolutely. Some of the most telling things are if you look at the roofs of the houses, you can see where the mud line stops on the roofs of those houses. And it's amazing how far over the second floor that it gets. I mean, this was not a normal flood. This is the amount of water that poured so quickly into this community and hit these homes. Multiple people didn't have time to save items. Multiple people. I'll give you a story about a used car lot. Bill's used car lot in Clendenin, and he didn't have flood insurance on those vehicles, and every single vehicle on his lot is destroyed. Right now, we're working on trying to get a grant to try to rebuild that business because we don't want him to lose every investment being the car dealer in the Clendenin area. He's trying to find somebody to buy him for salvage and rebuild his entire bays, everything, the antique vehicles he had there, everything completely destroyed. And he'd never been destroyed like that before. And it's just something that it's difficult. Herbert Hoover High School, I mean, we've sent down hundreds of volunteers to the high school to clean it out. And, you know, the outpouring of help from the community has been absolutely amazing. West Virginians helping West Virginians has been amazing. And we have so many people volunteering to put backpack drives together to help these children. So when they come back, they can have all their school supplies, brand new backpack. We're trying to reach out to large companies to replace football uniforms, to replace the pads, to do the field, to replace the basketball court. And we're hearing so many great things from so many different areas of people wanting to help. So we're really reaching out and trying to utilize every single avenue we have to get the help for these West Virginians.
You know, one of the big questions after a flood like this is how to rebuild. I have friends that live near Elkview. Their house was flooded 18 years ago. It's a 100-year-old farmhouse, first time it ever flooded like that. And they jacked it up 5 feet to a point at which they were told it'll never get this high again. And in this flood, it was up to their countertops. So even though they jacked up their house, it was still flooded. How do you rebuild in these areas when there's a limited amount of money, when you don't know, is this a 1,000-year event that'll never happen again? Or do we need to prepare for these things? Senator Walters, what do you do?
Well, that's something that a lot of people are concerned about. When FEMA buys a house and gives it to the city, you cannot build a house on that piece of land again. It's a preventative measure. And there's just not a lot of areas in West Virginia with all the hillsides to build a lot of houses.
Let's talk about Clendenin. Didn't the entire downtown area of Clendenin flood from end to end?
It's destroyed. I mean, the whole thing was flooded. If you want to walk through a ghost town in a sense, or, you know, if you picture the end of the world in a sense in your mind, walk through that area right after that flood. I mean, just the mud everywhere, the roads destroyed, windows broken out, everything. It just looks like an abandoned town because of all the devastation and the damage that occurred there. It's going to be very difficult to rebuild, and it's something that's going to take not just a couple, not just hundreds, but thousands of volunteers. And we've been sending out volunteers left and right to rebuild, get in there clean. We have engineers that offer their services for free to check foundations to make sure that these buildings or these homes are good and they don't need to be torn down. I mean, we've got tons of resources coming from the community to help out. It's just we're worried about, you know, once they buy those houses, once FEMA buys the houses and you can't put another house there, well, what's our school population going to look like? in that area the upcoming year? How many kids are we going to have to prepare for? Because a lot of people are going to be moving from that community. It's going to be tough. It'll be a tough coming months, not just days. I mean, this is not going to be done in days. And that's something we're worried about as well, is once, you know, the first initial push is gone, getting people to keep coming up there.
That was one impression I had looking at Raynell and Richwood, is that people, when it's in the headlines, want to be there right away, but there's going to be a need for long-term help. In fact, a lot of churches are actually rigging showers and things like that so they can host long-term visiting teams and just plan on rotating people through. So it's not going to be over quickly. And picking up on your FEMA point, the scary thing is now there's really nowhere to run, because you can be on high ground and still get hit. So
we had a geologist on here the other day that was just saying these 100-year estimations for creeks and stuff, they might be wrong. So one of the big questions is, should folks rebuild in the same spots? I mean, it sounds like they will. If they're not bought out, what else can they do? There's no plan right now to try to jack up houses or to try to clear, you know, low-lying areas, right? The plan right now is people are going to rebuild in their communities where they were, right?
That's exactly right. There's so many people that just don't want to leave their houses and leave their communities. It's that attachment. They've earned it. They've earned that piece of land. They've worked so hard to build that house, to get there, and to see it destroyed overnight. And they don't settle for that. You know, they've got that spirit in them that they want to rebuild what they've earned, and they want to be there for a community that's always been there for them. And it's just amazing to see that type of drive and that type of spirit. But also on the other side is what can we do, you know, against Mother Nature? We got to figure out the best thing that we can do to be preventative of stuff like this in the future. And how much can you do to prevent, you know, rushing, raging water? It's really something that's going to be very difficult. We're going to have to try to get experts in to help these people. They need help. But we also, again, I keep going back to this, but it's true. We can't get enough boots on the ground. We can't get enough West Virginian volunteers going up there, getting their hands dirty, rolling up their sleeves, and helping these people clean out their houses and rebuild. They need help. We have hundreds of addresses that need help, that need people going in there, not afraid to get dirty, clean out rooms, take furniture out, you know, clean out basements, whatever it needs so they can live in their homes and move forward with their lives.
A lot of people might wonder, what can I do? And I know there are lots of different organizations. Right now you're wearing a vest from the American Red Cross. We have a link on our website to West Virginia Voluntary Organizations Active in Disasters. And that's kind of a clearinghouse for all sorts of ways you can volunteer and give money. Senator Walters, how can we make sure that a week or two from now that these flood victims aren't forgotten?
Well, you know, we still need people that can make time to come and help out. We need to continue to energize the churches. The churches have been amazing in this. I mean, that's something that we had one church send down 140 people. The legislature has a response in this. Once we get a number of how much the state needs to put in, and that's going to take a little while to get that number, but once we get a number, we're going to have to allocate money to the governor's civil contingency fund and make sure that's used to help in the rebuilding efforts. I keep hearing the breakdown of 75-25. The federal government will cover about 75% of this. The state will cover about 25% of this. And that 25 is not going to be a small number. And we're already hurting economically in the state of West Virginia. So we're going to have to do everything we can to figure out the way forward from this.
I assume that's coming from the so-called rainy day fund,
that,
right?
That would be, yeah. And we're going to have to figure something out. You know, we have a saying up there that kind of is our motto up there, and it's love is waterproof. And it's something that we keep seeing and from people all across the state, from volunteers and everyone getting involved. It's no matter what happens, West Virginians love their neighbors. There's no question about, you know, people's backgrounds, ethnicity, anything. It's a question of how can we help. And that spirit up there is just so lifting. And seeing all the people every day with not complaining about it being hot, not complaining about tired, nothing. They're just talking about how can we help, what can we do next. And it's so great to see from our community.
I have one question, if you don't mind. You know, initially people were concerned about people self-deploying. And I guess in some cases that could create chaos. But now, is there a contact point, like for Clendenin, because I think a lot of people listening to this probably live near that area. What's the best way?
There's two ways. First, you can always send me a message on Facebook. I've got tons of addresses and can send people out from there. But also there's two locations. One is going to be a very long-term location, and we talked about it. It's Bill's Used Auto Dealership. There's a young lady there named Heather Roush who heads up addresses and dispatch out into the community. She lives in the community, knows the streets well, and just has been a blessing for that area. And of course, we're sending people out from Smith's Food Fair in Clendenin as well. We have addresses. And if we run out of addresses, we send them over to her, and she's got addresses. There's no shortage of that.
Ken Ward did a story over the weekend about previous flood reports kind of sitting on a shelf, not really being paid much attention to. There's also another story in there about cuts to state government and how they might be affecting flood response. Of course, this is just the start. We're expecting more cuts again next year. Things like forestry, for example, 37 people laid off, and forestry is definitely involved in preventing floods. How is the legislature going to square the circle here to make sure that whatever cuts are made don't end up leading to degrading our flood response or inability to help these flood victims?
There is, when we cut, whenever we cut government, you know, we are going to do all we can to make sure that they're deliberate as possible. It really is going to take an executive, a governor next year, to show that leadership, because his hands are more so in those state agencies and working with those agency heads than the legislatures are. And it's going to take that leadership from the person that we elect to be the leader of our state. There's no cut that we're going to do that's not going to be harmful in some situation. I mean, when we make these cuts, people, some are going to lose their jobs. Some areas that we cut are going to be services that people don't want to lose. But we've lost so much revenue coming to our state in the last couple of years. I mean, the coal industry, we expected it to have a decline, but not to this point. The gas industry, we expected it to, you know, boom and continue. But when the commodity, when the price of gas went down so much, they're not severing it from the ground. And when it's not being severed from the ground, we're not getting a severance tax. And because of that, we aren't getting money in from gas that we thought was going to come. And when the money's not there, you can't bounce a check. You got to live within your means. And in saying that and in doing so, we got to make cuts. But the other side of it is people say, why don't you just raise taxes? West Virginia citizens are hurting. And putting the onus on taking more money out of their pocketbooks is not an easy solution either. There's not a good solution for this until we get an executive that come in, restructure and reorganize government. And whoever the next governor may be, I hope it's someone that's ready to get in there and do the right thing. And the tough thing, it's not going to be easy. And it's not going to be popular either.
I think the state in the past made some decisions that harmed our ability to respond to this. Back in 2007 or so, there were, you know, heavy range of tax cuts that people thought would bring prosperity, and that hadn't worked out too well. So I think people need to look at the revenue side too as we move forward.
Yeah, and again, as I said, you know, that's something that is going to be considered, but you're also taking it from West Virginians that are struggling. So we have to be very, very careful. It's not an easy time for the state of West Virginia. And this flood taking even more money out of the rainy day fund is going to make it even more difficult for the state to figure out its resources moving forward.
You mentioned the next governor. Just, if I won that election, my first act would be to demand a recount, I think.
Whoever the next governor is, they're going to have a very big uphill battle.
Do you know, you look at like Governor Caperton when he came in, the crisis at least as big as what we face today. And I think people look back on his 8 years as being positive years for West Virginia. So it's an opportunity, too, to come in, show leadership, and hopefully take us in a better direction. So we'll see. Senator Chris Walters, thank you so much for coming on. And thank you on behalf of everybody who has benefited from your hands-on work for doing what you're doing.
Thanks for the suggestions of what people can specifically do, because I think that's something that's been missing.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for taking time to have me on. There's a lot of West Virginians that need help. We need volunteers. We need hands on. We need boots on the ground. And as soon as you're ready to come volunteer, we're ready to send you out.